Now, though, let's get to our guest, please. He is Rodney Boyd, Rod the Bod. How are you, my friend?
Well, man, I just wanted to say good morning, and I wanted to welcome you and your listeners to Infrastructure Week. Happy Infrastructure Week.
Happy Infrastructure Week. Why would you call it Happy Infrastructure Week?
Well, I call it Infrastructure Week because tomorrow morning at 10:30 in our beloved St. Louis and then on to 12 other cities, Governor Parson is going to kick off Infrastructure Week. We had talked last week and weeks prior to about the fuel tax.
Yeah.
And the governor is kicking this week off as Infrastructure Week. He's going to go and explain to the voters why they need to vote yes on Proposition D, talk about Missouri's infrastructure needs, how long overdue this funding stream is. And so with that, I just welcome you and the listeners to Infrastructure Week.
Yeah, well, you know what? The governor's going to stop by the studio tomorrow morning about 8:35 because he's going to be in St. Louis talking about that. When I had him on the air here before, I asked him about this fuel tax, and he claimed that it's the first time he's ever supported anything like this. And you know, I told him that I'm not on board with it, but the governor has decided that this is the path forward.
Well, I think this is probably the first time he's ever publicly supported any tax, but I think you should leave your options open because he hasn't tried to convince you yet. That will be tomorrow. When you talked to him last time, they were sort of putting a plan together because he was relatively new. Now is the sale, the convincing part, and so I think give him a shot. Give him a shot, Mark. By next Monday, you may have an Infrastructure Week hat on and a mug, and you may be for profit.
I don't know, Rodney. I think I
got a feeling you won't.
That may be a bit of a stretch. But I told him I'd love to have the governor on again, and I'll let him come on here and make his pitch to Missourians for why he thinks they should add 10 cents to a gallon of gas.
And Mark, the other thing that I hope you have time to do is there are several other important measures on the ballot as well, none probably more important than Clean Missouri, which, you know, seems to focus its energies on ethics reform, but it really gets the crux of it is it gets to how we redistrict in Missouri, make Missouri the most unique state in the union by giving us a demographer to do what has currently been done by appointed committees of a number of people with the backstop of the courts. So hopefully you'll get a chance not just to talk about the infrastructure proposal and what people think about it, but also maybe some of the other big issues that we're going to be asking voters to weigh in on with their vote in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'll have to ask the governor about Clean Missouri, too. That's Amendment 1, just if you're keeping track. You know, I said this earlier, Rodney, and it bears repeating as many times as possible before Election Day on November 6th, and that is when you walk into the voting booth, it doesn't really matter where you're voting in the state of Missouri, and the sound of my voice, if you're in the state of Missouri, you're going to have a laundry list of statewide issues to decide on, and then some local issues depending on where you live. People have got to educate themselves. Like, for example, there are three different amendments dealing with the legalization of marijuana for medical purposes in the state of Missouri. None of the recreational things got on the ballot, but you're going to have to know before you get in there because each one of them is unique and different.
Yeah, and you might think, well, didn't I just vote on this 2 seconds ago?
Yeah, seems like it.
Is my ballot, is there a typo on my ballot? Why is it popping up three times? One point I'll make to your listeners, if you live in St. Louis County, I think there are 46 different measures that you're going to be asked to vote on. It is an incredibly nuanced and thick ballot, and it changes. That's the other thing you should share with your listeners. Look, if you live in the county, you're going to have 46 things to vote on because of all the divergent issues in the county. The city has a slightly different ballot. And you can get a sample ballot, by the way, folks, on your smart device. You do not have to go anywhere. Just click on Secretary of State's office, type in where you live, pull this stuff up, and begin now. You don't have to do it all in one sitting, but just familiarize yourself with Clean Missouri, with the marijuana proposals, with other measures that will absolutely impact your life, your livelihood, and your family.
Yeah, Prop D is the one on the fuel tax, just so people know. I've had people request this, and I did it a couple years ago, but I'm going to put out a voter guide explaining what each one of these would do from my point of view and my suggestion on how people should vote on it. I'm going to probably do that before the end of the week. just because, you know, I know what happens. I see it all the time. Denise and I were talking about it after the last election in August. We both went into our polling place, arrived, voted, and left, and we still saw people over there reading Prop A about unions, trying to decipher what it would do and what it wouldn't do. You can't do that in the voting booth because you're not going to make a good decision.
No, and most of us don't have an hour or two to spend at the ballot box. We have a few minutes because we're trying to fit it in with the normal course of our lives. So your hue and cry about preparing for this, taking a few minutes just to look over these things, and then to ask questions. Talk to your friends, your families. If you want to talk to your elected official, reach out to your state representative or a local person and get some insights. But there's no reason, and with the access to information that we have on our smart devices today, that anybody should wait until they get to the ballot to try to understand Clean Missouri, what the demographer is going to do. Somebody asked me over the weekend, do I know any demographers? And I said, you know what? I do not. I know a lot of people. I don't know any demographers. So, you know, there's some aspects to these issues that are fun to talk about, but the consequences are severe and significant, and they really impact quality and various aspects of our lives as Missourians.
Yeah, you should start a campaign, Rodney. Don't be dumb. Use your smartphone.
There you go.
See, you can just download it and look at it.
You just did it.
See?
You just kicked it off.
We've launched it here.
Hashtag don't be dumb. You should use your smartphone. No, but you know, I appreciate you allowing a few minutes to talk about these weighty issues. I get a lot of feedback when I'm on your show from people saying that they appreciate the focus, what we're trying to get them to do. So I know we're connecting with people. I was out and about this weekend, and these segments come up a lot. So kudos to you for continuing to wake people up in the morning, not just with entertainment, but with substance about, hey, don't walk into the ballot in about 3 weeks and then try to figure out what you're voting on or what you're voting for. Go informed.
Have you seen any polling at all on the minimum wage issue? That's Proposition B, by the way, that would slowly increase the minimum wage in Missouri to $12 an hour.
Well, I have not seen any polling, but I have seen millions of dollars of cash flowing in to various organizations from around the country. So I haven't seen polling, but I've seen the money. And I think as recently as this last cycle, there's probably been at least several hundred thousands of dollars coming into the state through various organizations from Texas to D.C. to wherever to support that proposition. So I haven't seen polling, but I know there's a ton of money coming in for it, and it's one of those things that I think will probably pass north of 60%.
Wow.
Even higher.
Gosh. I mean, I don't understand what people don't understand about basic economics. When you force a false wage floor on a business like that, and you force them to go from, let's say they're paying $8 or $8.50 an hour now, or whatever it is, not most companies are paying above minimum wage, and you force them to raise that wage by $4 an hour over a short period of time, that money's not coming out of the owner's pocket. That's what people don't understand. Yeah. Their goods and services are going to go up because they're forcing a false wage floor on these businesses. A lot of these folks that are going to be voting for it are doing it because they're voting their own pocketbook. They want a raise. But then it forces everybody else above $8.50 an hour. Their wages have to go up as well. These small business owners are already struggling, and I do not understand why Missourians would vote for this.
You know, Mark, you asked, in your statement, you asked a good question, why? Look, two things we don't teach and haven't taught most of our lives in school, the Constitution and basic economics. And so, you know, we're left to learn constitutional principles and economic principles from somewhere because they're not taught in our school system. And so I think you will have a battle trying to get people to understand what you just said succinctly in a broader narrative. And it's incumbent upon employers and people who want to hire people and keep people employed to have this conversation. This is another example. So if you have a question about minimum wage or what it will or won't do, and you work for a small business or you know a small business owner, have the conversation. Ask the small business owner or where you are, ask your employer what the impact would be. And that's a real terse way to get some answers, but it's probably for most people with 3 weeks left the best and most viable way to understand what the impact of this measure would be on a small business in your neighborhood. If you're going anywhere in your community in the next couple of weeks, ask a small business owner about this proposition.
I love it. It's a great point. Ask somebody who's been there and what it's like to have to pay those wages. Most people, most of us will never do it. Only a very small percentage of people ever put everything on the line to start their own small business, and they just don't. I don't think they grasp what the impact of that is going to be. Rodney, before we run out of time here, let me ask you this. Donald Trump has spent a lot of time in Missouri. I suspect we'll see him again before this election cycle's over. He did two different trips this weekend. I was in Lebanon, Ohio on a trip when he showed up there. Thousands of people showed up. Others were turned away. They couldn't get into the big fairgrounds there to hear him speak in the pouring rain. People stood out in the pouring rain to hear the man speak. I think that there are going to be some surprises in this November election.
I agree with you in this respect. I think that traditionally people think that the low turnout in the midterms affects the other party, but I don't know that that affects the party outside of power. That's the traditional approach. We're not in a traditional time. I think that the president, in the wake of the Kavanaugh hearings, has an energized base that he is committed to keeping energized, and I think you're going to see him not only in Missouri, but in the border states. There's a big governor's race in Kansas with someone he supports. There's a race in Illinois with a Republican governor that the state doesn't want to lose. So I think you're going to see the governor in the Midwest a lot more. And I think you and I are going to be, we are going to be surprised, because I think that turnout is probably going to surprise people. I think there's going to be more conservative voters turning out now than we thought we're going to turn out in about three or four weeks ago. 3 or 4 weeks ago, my friends in the Republican strategic space were talking about a blue wave. That tenor has gone down substantially. Kavanaugh was a big impetus, but The president's doing these rallies and going around the country weekly. As you've noticed, there's been an uptick in the president's media presence. It's not a coincidence that he was on 60 Minutes last night. I think you're going to see a lot more of the president in the next 3 weeks. So I think that what his strategy is to stay present, to remind people that in large part, if you like the stuff he's done, if you like the agenda that he's executing, then go out and vote for various candidates that he has endorsed on November 6th. So we're going to see a lot more of him, a lot more interviews, a lot more media presence, and I think it will have an impact on turnout that's slightly different than what the prognosticators were banking on.
Yeah, it's a great point. Rodney, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.